You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Know, live, transform.
This is 702.
This is 702.
For the curious.
Okay, so you and I have had so many things to talk about in the last couple of weeks. I've been wanting to play and then frame a little conversation around Joaquin Phoenix's acceptance speech when he got the Oscar for Best Lead Performance by a Male for his absolutely brilliant performance in The Joker. This is what he had to say. Some people thought he was rambling a little bit. I didn't think so. I don't care about the riff of many topics. There's a very specific issue coming out of the acceptance speech that I think is actually worth a discussion, probably for an hour. But you and I will do it within 20 minutes because we'll get to the number of the issue immediately. Listen to this very closely.
Hi. Stop. Hi. God, I'm full of so much gratitude right now. And I do not feel elevated above any of my fellow nominees or anyone in this room because we share the same love, the love of film. And this form of expression has given me the most extraordinary life. I don't know what I'd be without it. But I think the greatest gift that it's given me, and many of us in this room, is the opportunity to use our voice for the voiceless. I've been thinking a lot about some of the distressing issues that we are facing collectively. And I think at times we feel or we're made to feel that we champion different causes. But for me, I see commonality. I think whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. We're talking about the fight against the belief that one nation, one people, one race, one gender, or one species has the right to dominate, control, and use and exploit another with impunity. I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world, and many of us, what we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview. The belief that we're the center of the universe. We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal. And I think we fear the idea of personal change because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up. But human beings at our best are so inventive and creative and ingenious. And I think that when we use love and compassion as our guiding principles, we can create, develop, and systems of change that are beneficial to all sentient beings and to the environment. Now, I've been a scoundrel in my life. I've been selfish. I've been cruel at times, hard to work with, and ungrateful. But so many of you in this room have given me a second chance. And I think that's when we're at our best, when we support each other, not when we cancel each other out for past mistakes, but when we help each other to grow, when we educate each other, when we guide each other towards redemption. That is the best of humanity.
So I think that one reason why that speech, I mean, there's sort of two reasons why that speech, I think, got reported on so poorly and lampooned by some people in the blogosphere across the world. The one is simply that he almost sounds like he's stuttering, right? And from a speechcraft point of view, if you're unkind, you respond to that kind of delivery in weird ways just because you want to be spicy. So that's one boring reason why you're not listening to the content properly. The other reason is, of course, that people listen selectively. All they hear is, oh my God, is this guy really saying, like, we steal milk from cows? Mad white liberal guy. And then you deliberately do not try and understand the essence of what he is saying. I think the most important things that he said are the things before he talked about the cow and the artificial insemination. When he calls you and I, out as human beings by saying that we are egocentric, we are speciesist, we plunder from nature, and we don't really seem to have regard for other sentient beings that we share the earth with. And all that sentience means in simple English is the capacity to experience pain and pleasure, feelings, for example, right? And so my question to you is very simple. In the 15 minutes that we have left, put in your thinking caps, think ethically for me, and I know human beings, because of speech and because of the power that we wield in relation to other animals, unconsciously behave and demonstrate that we obviously think we are at the center of life. But what he's asking us to do is to reflect critically on our behavior, and in particular our relationship with the rest of nature and with other sentient beings. And it's a tough conversation. If you love meat, for example, if you like animals, I'm watching a great Netflix documentary series at the moment that involves lots of meat that I want to talk to you about on another occasion. But as I'm watching it and enjoying that Netflix series, I keep thinking about Joaquin's acceptance speech that calls on us to think critically about the plunder that is involved in human behavior. Are we egocentric? Are we speciesist? And do we have a disdain for other sentient beings? I want your answer to that question. Zwelin Zimavavi, even as he was elevating the conversation about the unemployed and the employed, still found it, and I thought it was a beautiful moment. I couldn't underscore it because we were running out of time. He still found it important to say, we also need to talk about ecological justice. How committed are you to ecological justice, and how much regard do you have for other sentient beings? Honestly, honestly, honestly speaking, or do you not give a damn? And do you recognize that as human beings we are indicted because we are egocentric and we do plunder with little regard for other sentient beings? What are your thoughts? 011-883-0702.
Eusebius Makaiser
on 702
for the curious.
Wonga says on Twitter, Eusebius, that speech by Joaquin Phoenix was absolutely powerful. My goodness, he says, it describes almost all of us. It absolutely does, doesn't it? And the thing is that I don't want to let us off the hook, right? But one can understand, Laura, that of course, in a sense, our immediate interests as human beings preoccupy us. Our day-to-day business on radio, when you go home, when you think about mom and dad, you think about your lover, friends that are visiting for the weekend, your travel plans for the summer. We center human life all the time. And what's interesting about things like climate change is how we are being forced, even if it's not from the right motive, to begin to realize the limitations of being human-centric.
Mm. And I think there's also this narrative about things like climate change, things like vegetarianism. You know, it's such a middle-class thing, right?
Yeah.
Where actually, if you look at images of tsunamis, Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans a few years ago, the people who are suffering the most are the poorest of the poor.
Absolutely.
People who can't just,
Absolutely. Oh
no, you need to evacuate and go to another state.
Mm.
They can't.
Mm.
That's also, it's that idea. It's being so set in our own bubble, I think, that you don't worry about, or it doesn't really affect me.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's right. I mean, the assumption was always that there's something elitist about ecological political activism, that you can afford as a leftover hippie from the 60s or the child of a hippie to worry about the environment, to worry about animal rights other than human rights.
Mm.
And now we realize, as you say, that in fact that is absolute balderdash. If you care about the poor, then you have to care about the environment.
Mm.
Because not only are all of us suffering when the environment suffers, but the poor disproportionately suffer. But I think, Laura, there's also a deeper question, right? Which is, besides the instrumental importance of caring about the environment, because without an environment that is intact, you and I can't live as human beings, I think the tougher question is a direct moral question. Shouldn't we just have regard for the interests of other sentient beings in virtue of the fact that sentient beings are also morally entitled to be thought of in our reasoning processes when we decide how we are going to act in and on the world? Sentient beings have moral interests that should also come into play when we think about our own behavior as human beings. We shouldn't only care for the environment because we need the environment in order to live as human beings. We should also care about, for example, the interests of other animals in virtue of the fact that they are sentient. And for me, that is why that acceptance speech by Joaquin Phoenix actually deserved to travel far wider than it did in the end. And it deserves, I think, far, far more serious engagement beyond lampooning him for the reference to a cow. And even that reference, I think, was actually an interesting reference. But people deliberately do not want to hear generously viewpoints that fundamentally challenge the way in which we live. Scott, good morning.
Morning, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for calling in.
Very good. Eusebius, thanks for bringing up this topic. I also was looking at it just yesterday, and I have to fully agree with you on yes, on all three of those things. As a human race, we're so focused on ourselves that we neglect and leave everything out behind. And what Joaquin was touching on of how almost violent we are in everything.
Yes.
We need to be compassionate and lead with love and to teach when mistakes happen in love as well. And I think that was the most wild thing for me, was to, even when we are wrong, to turn around and be like, hold on, guys, this is how we should do it, and educate and then learn and then go on forward on that. It's just, it's scary that in 2020 it's not the norm, but it's our reality, unfortunately.
That's right, Scott. And we practice that violence when we behave violently in the relationships we have with the rest of nature.
Yep.
So when he talks about plundering the natural world, the fact that one species, we are speciesist and we are exploiting, quote unquote, another with impunity. It is, of course, unsurprising that if I kick a dog or don't have regard for its interests, that other sentient beings who happen to be able to speak human words and have a human face may also become a victim of my violence, because I've habituated myself into being violent in relation to other sentient beings.
100%. There was another film he did where he narrated called Earthlings. I'm not sure if you've seen it.
I haven't, no.
It's about, okay, well, prepare yourself. It's one of the worst things to watch. It's about the whole, how basically we are so violent with regards to food, clothing, pets, how we are, and it just is an in-depth look of the reality of how we, of how things work. The footage is a bit old that they use in that documentary, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's a complete eye-opener to food, clothes, pets, how we treat, like, everything. It is shocking.
What's it called?
It's one of those things where it actually, Earthlings.
Earthlings. Earthlings, okay. I'll have a look at it, yeah. But thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate your intervention. Crystal McDonald says, Eusebius, I have watched that speech hundreds of times. I'm grateful that you played it. I was a proud carnivore until I opened my mind and my heart to the unethical capitalism within the food industry. Since then, I read and watch anything that I can get hold of, and I'm now a proud vegetarian. Now listen, I eat meat, right? I love meat. I'm not saying we should all become vegetarians, moral vegetarians, and crusaders for veganism. That is a view. Many hold that view, and there are coherent arguments for it. It's not my own view. What I think absolute minimum we ought to do, certainly if you are a regular listener to my show, I insist that this is the standard that we all should try and strive for, is that you need to behave consciously and at least be able to offer an explanation for the choices that you make. So if you are choosing to plunder from nature, if you are choosing to eat meat, at least do so consciously and be capable of telling a story why your behavior is ethically permissible. Maybe you need to sleep on it. If it's a tough topic for you, you can come back on the open line. But I really think it's worth watching several times that acceptance speech by Joaquin Phoenix. Take it seriously. Don't lampoon it. and beyond the human-centric conversation that you and I have on the Eusebius McKaiser Show, we also need to talk about our relationship with other sentient beings.